All right, guys, we are looking at the book of Judges. So we're just going to do an introductory lesson today. We do this before every one of the books. So you have seen Joshua. Joshua basically is the account of how they took the land. Judges now gives you an understanding of what it was like when they first took the land after the time of Joshua and that generation had died. It covers a lot of years, and it has to do with something called a judge. They had judges. They didn't have a ruler, a king. They didn't have somebody like Joshua, a leader. But they had individual leaders at different times to guide them because they were supposed to operate with the Lord being their judge or their king. Do you understand? So now this book is put here to help you to understand what it is like in Israel before the king comes, before the kings come, which we're going to see later on as we progress further along in the Old Testament. So what we want to do is, again, we want to kind of refresh our memories as to how to approach this book. So we're going to talk about historical books, and then we're going to talk about the book of Judges, giving you some introductory material, as well as helping you to understand how the book of Judges is structured. So that's what we're going to do today. Okay? That's what we're going to do today. So when we talk about the historical books, I'm going to go through some information that you've already seen once before, but I want to go through it just so you understand what we're talking about. Okay? So, because for instance, this is a historical book, so we'll talk about that. First of all, historical books are known as narratives or stories. Okay? They're historical stories. So you need to understand that. Oftentimes you'll hear somebody say about the narrative. This is what a historical book is. It's a narrative. Biblical narratives tell us about what happened, but not just any things. Okay? So they tell us about what happened, but they don't tell us about just anything. All right? So, you know, when you read a history book, it kind of goes through and tells you everything that took place during a time period. Okay? Have you noticed when I remember, some of you remember when you were in high school, you know, you had a whole 180 days to cover history and you got into a lot of details. Now, you know, they still have 180 days, but there's a whole lot more history there, so they're trying to cram it all into that 180 days. So they're not getting as much history as you did because they're adding a whole lot more history on. Okay? Whole lot more history on, and they talked about a lot of different things. Well, when you talk about biblical narratives, it tells us about what happened, but it doesn't tell you everything, okay? It doesn't tell you all things. They're not just stories about people who lived in the Old Testament times. So I want you to understand, when we talk about these historical books, this is not just telling you about Samson or Gideon. This is not just the stories about Samson and Gideon, or Jephthah, all right? I want you to understand that. This is not just, you know, let's talk about these guys and have some good moral lessons and we'll teach Sunday school about it. That's not what it's about. There's a purpose for these narratives, okay? To tell you a purpose, to show you something. They are stories about what God people did to and through his people. So you're going to see what God did to his people here, and you're also going to see what he did through his people, all right? Through his people. In particular, when we talk about the book of Judges, you're going to see what it's like when people do their own thing without God. Interesting, isn't it? In fact, well, I'll leave it for as we go further along. We're going to see what people do without God, and that's pretty significant. They are not allegories, that is moral stories. How many of you remember when you were in school, Aesop's Fables? The story of the wolf and the duck, or you know, the story of the scorpion that rode on the back of the turtle across the river, and the turtle, you know, you ever heard that story? I'll tell you the story real quick. Some of you are like, I don't know that story. Well, there was a scorpion that wanted to go across the river. And he couldn't get across the river, so he saw a turtle, and he said to the turtle, carry me across the river. And the turtle said, I won't, because you'll sting me. And the scorpion says, no, I won't. I won't do that. I need to get across the river too. Just carry me on your back. So they hop on, carries him halfway across. He stings him. And as the turtle is dying, he said, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And the scorpion's reply was, it's my nature. That's an Aesop's fable. It teaches a moral tale. Okay? That's an allegory. These are not allegories. When we talk about historical books, they're not just moral teachings. Okay? So for instance, when we get into the book of Judges, you're going to come to a very interesting, horrifying thing where in the end, there's this Levite, he has a concubine, he's in a house, people show up, they're bad people, he sticks his wife outside and gives his wife, or his concubine, she's a type of wife, to these people, they rape her, they do whatever, she wakes up in the morning, he's dead, he cuts her into 12 pieces, sends her out throughout Israel. There's no moral story there. It's actually a pretty horrifying thing. But there's a reason why God gave that story. We'll see about that later, okay? We'll see about that. You say, we're going to go through this book? Yeah, we're going to go through this book. Jephthah, first thing that comes out of my house, I will sacrifice to the Lord. First thing that comes out of his house is his daughter. Whoa. Whoa. This is a time when people did their own thing. These are not allegories or stories filled with hidden meanings. They do not always teach directly. Historical narratives don't always teach directly. So when you talk about something, there's not a lesson that is like, oh, here's the lesson. They don't always teach directly. So I need you to grasp that, okay? Each narrative within a narrative does not necessarily have a moral all its own. Okay, remember I just told you about the concubine that got cut into 12 pieces. There's not a moral there to be taught. Each narrative within a narrative doesn't necessarily teach a moral. Okay, it just is telling you what's going on here. All right, it's just telling you what it was like in this period. The narrative does not directly teach a doctrine. Okay? The narrative does not necessarily directly teach a doctrine. So you need to understand that. So we're not looking, first of all, you don't go to Judges to get your doctrine. All right? You don't go to Judges to get your doctrine. Just being honest with you. They usually illustrate a doctrine or doctrines talked prepositionally elsewhere. You can use it to illustrate a doctrine somewhere else. But they don't necessarily teach a doctrine, all right? They record what happened, not necessarily what should have or ought to have happened. They just record what happens. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible, to me, is an amazing book. Because you know what? Nations, and that's even true of our nation, when we look back at history, we have a tendency to glamorize history. Do you know what I mean? We have a tendency to tell you the good things that happened in our country. Do you know what I'm saying? And if we have a story, it maybe teaches a moral lesson. Like, you remember, how many of you heard the story of, I mean, they're not even sure if it's true, but I was taught it, about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree. Do you guys remember that one? I don't even know if they teach that anymore, you know, and I cannot tell a lie. You know, that's how we approach history sometimes. But the Bible doesn't approach history that way. It doesn't glamorize anything. It just tells you like it is. How do you know that? Look at how it describes the greatest king of all, David. When you get to 2 Samuel and the narratives, you find out real quick he's a human being and he's making some wrong decisions. We would never do that. We would promote our leaders. We would never show them as being human. Do you know what I'm saying? And so this is what I want you to see. They record what happened, not necessarily what should have happened or what ought to have happened. What people do is not necessarily a good example to the reader in a narrative. What you see in this is not necessarily a good example to the reader. Okay? You're not going to go and say, I'm going to be like Gideon. Well, you're going to see some things about Gideon later that are not necessarily good. Okay? Most of the characters are far from perfect, and their actions are too. I'm going to tell you they're all far from perfect. There is no perfect person in the Bible except one, Jesus. Okay? They're all sinners. God uses them. Okay? God uses them. In fact, what we're going to see in the case of Gideon, when we go to Gideon, God used Gideon. But then afterwards, Gideon did something that I'm totally shocked at. Why would he do that? But yet God used him. Do you know what I'm saying? Yet God used him. Even in spite of the fact that later on God knew that he was going to do something that I think is totally shocking. What are you talking about, George? Wait till we get to Gideon. In a few weeks here, we'll get to Gideon. Okay? We are not always told the end of the narrative, whether what happened was good or bad. Sometimes when you get the story, you don't necessarily find out what happened. Just being honest with you. You don't find out what happened. Okay? For instance, we're going to read about Samson and Delilah. You guys remember that story, Samson and Delilah? Maybe you saw the movie, the 1950s movie, okay? Well, the scripture tells you what happened with Samson. It doesn't tell you anything about what happened to Delilah, you know, other than her involvement and then the capture of Samson and the imprisonment. But it doesn't tell you what happened to her in the end. You don't need to know what happened to her in the end. The scripture's not interested there. Okay? So it doesn't tell you what happened, good or bad, in the end. All narratives are selective and incomplete. Is that possible? It's the Word of God. Yes, it's the Word of God. It's perfect. It's true. But the Word of God only gives you what God wants you to know. He's not going to tell you all of the details of what happened, because maybe somebody finds some historical record and it gives some other details. Does that mean the Word of God was wrong? No, it just means God only shared with you what He wanted you to know from that incident for a purpose. Okay? Now, they are not written to answer all of our theological questions. That's especially going to be true when we go through the book of Judges. Okay? Judges is not going to answer your theological questions. Just being honest with you. Okay? They teach either explicitly, clearly stating, or implicitly, clearly implying. If we're going to see anything, it's either going to be clearly stated or it's going to be implied. Just being honest with you. Okay? Implicit does not mean secret. There's no secrets here. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this to you. Every once in a while, I'll see this. It's happened a lot. It happens almost every year. And especially some of the guys who are on TV, they will come up and say that they found some secret meaning or some secret teaching or some secret way of reading the Bible. That is not possible. Can I tell you that? That's not possible. Can I tell you why they're doing it? Anybody know why they would do that? Especially a TV guy? Well, yeah, to make money. Huh? Well, they do think of themselves more highly than they do. But anybody know why they would have to come up with something new all the time? Well, it's not to be different. It's to keep people coming back. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because, all right, so have you ever noticed, this is the same thing with prophecy guys. Have you ever noticed the guys who have ministries that are in prophecy? They're always coming up with something new that points to whatever. They'll show you a picture of somebody who bought some junk military hardware from Russia. I remember this years ago, I saw a guy, he put up a picture. This was in Tennessee, and it was some guy in Tennessee who bought some Russian trucks. We're getting ready for the invasion. No, some dude decided to buy some junk from Russia. But he put it up there to show because it fit into prophecy so that people would come back the next week. Better yet, that people would keep what? Writing the check. Did you understand what I'm saying? Writing the check. There's nothing secret. Get that out of your mind. And that's especially true when we talk about narrative. Just because something is implied does not necessarily mean it's